We may tie a few things in with the book of Revelation this morning, depending on your interest. Let's begin at the first verse of the second chapter. I tell you what, let's read that first chapter. We read about four chapters the last time, and it doesn't hurt to read a little scripture on Sunday morning, because a lot of people never read scripture. And if you don't read something to them, well, they never know about the Holy Scriptures. The Bible speaks of learning, understanding, and believing in, staying with the Holy Scriptures. One of the writers said, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. The Scriptures offer the purpose of making you wise unto salvation. Reading from the first verse of the first chapter, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, this is some real strong talk right here. First of all, he tells us that he's coming to be glorified in his saints. And then, a little farther over, he tells us in his word that there are certain people who have not believed in God, who have not trusted in the truth of the Scriptures. And for this cause, the Bible tells us that God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. And that not only will he turn them over to a reprobate mind, but that he will send to them strong delusions and cause them to believe a lie, that they may be damned. Now, you know, we don't like to believe that God would do anything to cause us to be damned. We always like to feel like God is loving and kind and true, that God is sweet, and we hear that preached from the sacred desk so much, until people have used that as a crutch to carry on their evil, wicked way. Always saying that God understands if I want to do evil, or God understands. If I'm pressed in such a way that I have to participate in something that's ungodly, well, the Lord knew that I couldn't help it. And I can get down into the ugliness of life, but God understands. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, God doesn't understand. And neither will God acquit the wicked. The one thing he said to Moses when he passed by on the mountain, and when Moses said, "Let me see your glory," and he said, I will allow you to see my glory. And as the glory passed by, one thing he said to Moses, "I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. I am the God that visits the iniquities of the fathers down upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. I will in no wise acquit the wicked." And he tells us here that because they will not believe the preaching of the word, they will not believe the Holy Scriptures. He says, because they will not believe it, I will turn them over to a reprobate mind, and I will cause them to believe a lie and be damned. Because they had not a love for the truth, whereas Jesus said, "My words are truth." I will cause them to be damned. That's why the Bible tells us when we pray, it says, "Pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." See, God can lead you into temptation. God can cause you to be damned. God can turn you over to a reprobate mind, and you can be lost by not believing what Christ has told you by the mouth of the ministry. He will send them strong delusions. That is, they will be religious. Look at the presidency of today. He believes that he's on his way to heaven, entertaining a murderer that they say is either directly or indirectly guilty of something like 60 million people's death or more. He's entertaining him. He's spending money from a religious country, giving him the finest hotel. Now, brother, if that isn't a strong delusion, I'd love to know what a strong delusion is. Yet he says he's a Christian and that he's on his way to heaven. Now, somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, anybody can see that he's not a Christian." But right on the other hand, I see in his life where he does better, far better in his everyday way of life than many people that profess Christianity. Where do we go from there? See, it's mighty easy to look at the other fellow and condemn him, isn't it? Because we see his mistakes, especially a great ruler like the president. We see their mistakes because it's magnified in such a way. It's in the papers, it's everywhere. But let me tell you something. God sees your mistake, and when it's published in the Herald of Heaven, it's just as big or bigger than their mistakes are down here. So then, what will all of it come to? One thing. God will not judge Jimmy in the day of the judgment because he brought a Chinese leader over here. He will judge Mr. Carter by the word of God as to how he obeyed the word of God. And then when I step up and you step up, he won't judge you by what church you belong to
or what you've heard somebody saying, but by the word of God. Paul said, and God shall judge you by this word in the last day. He's going to judge me. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge Mr. Carter. He's going to judge the great Chinese leader. He's not going to judge the Chinese leader by what Brother Pike thinks about him. But he's going to judge him by the word of God. So I tell you, hell is a horrible place. The lake of fire, friend, is a horrible place. We like to kind of put that out of our minds and say, God is so good. Well, he'd never put anybody in a lake of fire. But I want you to know, the Bible teaches that in that day he will say, depart from me that work iniquity. I never knew you. And the Bible said, these shall go away into a lake of fire. And there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the Bible said, it's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So then that means just exactly what it says. There is a lake of fire somewhere. Now, I made the statement last night talking to my wife. I'm not planning to take any chance. You can say, well, I feel all right. I think I'll be all right. I'll get there if you get there. I'm not planning to play games with my soul. Say, well, I think I've got as much chance as you have. We'll just wait and see. That's playing games with your soul. I'm not planning to be a fool and play games with my soul and in the end be sorry. I'm taking God's word. If God's word said it, I've got to do it. God isn't going to change it for some preacher. I look at him in the day of judgment, I say, but don't you know, Lord? I preached for many years. That won't mean nothing to him. And somebody else say, but don't you know that I've got a PhD? I spent many years studying. That won't mean nothing to God. God will say, what I want to know is what you've done about my word. There won't be any big eyes and little U's up there. We're all going to stand there before God, before God's word, as to how we regarded God's word, how we took God's word to heart, and how we performed God's word in our life. Paul said, as you have a will, have a performance. And it states here, because they had not a love for the truth, God turned them over to a reprobate mind and let them believe a lie and be damned. Now, what is the reprobate mind? I say again, to believe that they can participate in worldly things when God said, come out from among them and be a separate people. And the Lord said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All of that's a reprobate mind. When you get into a religious condition like Mr. Carter and many hundreds and thousands of others are, to where you believe that you can still sit down and watch evil things on television and watch movie stars in Hollywood and read the newspapers and read every degraded thing and have books and magazines and go to the football games and the baseball games and watch these things on TVs and sit in on the petting parties and travel all down to the beach where they're stripped off nude. When you get in that kind of condition, you've got a reprobate mind when you think you're going to heaven. God has despised you, and you displeased God somewhere. You've hardened your heart against the truth somewhere, and you've gotten into a rut somewhere, and God has turned you over to a reprobate mind. The Bible said, and he caused them to believe that what they believed was right. He caused them to believe it. He's like Pharaoh down there. God told Pharaoh, said, let my people go. And the more Pharaoh thought about Egypt and all of the power of human beings that he had down there in Egypt and what he had done and the great monuments that he had built from the free labor of slavery, he just couldn't make himself turn those people loose. And finally God got upset with him and God said, I'll harden his heart. Now then he won't be able to turn them loose. You know, it's like an electrician. You grab a hold of the right kind of wire and you can't turn it loose. You love to turn it loose. Even the people of Egypt said, Pharaoh must be a madman. Said, why, God has turned Egypt into a heap of ashes. It's a rubbish pile. And said, the man still rebels against God. The Bible said God hardened his heart that he couldn't turn him loose. He wanted to turn him loose, but he couldn't turn him loose. See, God makes your heart to become hard like an adamant stone, to where you believe that what you're doing is right. And the Bible tells us that beware, that we should beware lest we get past feeling. And God turns us over to this reprobate mind to where we don't feel any difference about it. Somebody will say, well, it doesn't bother me a bit. It doesn't bother you because you've killed your conscience. Because you've been worldly so long, you went contrary to God so long. Until there's no feeling anymore about it. You just done it and done it. It doesn't mean anything anymore. See, but the Bible teaches us to be tender. Beware lest God turn you over to reprobate mind, cause you to believe a lie by sending you strong delusions, and then let you be damned. What we should do is have a love for the truth. A love for the truth. We should love God's Word. If God's Word tells me a certain way to do a thing, then that's the way I ought to do it. I ought not try to figure it out and say, well, I feel this way about it, or I'm satisfied this way, or satisfied that way. What difference does it make if you're satisfied? That doesn't make any difference. A man might be dying with some kind of dreadful disease and say, I'm satisfied not to go to the doctor. That doesn't mean he's going to live. That doesn't help the situation. People smoking pot. People that's out here drinking alcohol, they're satisfied with that. People that's in the frolic of the world, they're satisfied with that. But doing those things don't please God. And that isn't going to help the situation just because you're satisfied. You say, I'm satisfied to be a church member. I'm satisfied to do the way that I'm doing. But that isn't going to help your situation at all. You're still going to go to hell. You're still going to burn in the flame of the fire. The lake of fire is still waiting on you. And no matter how satisfied you are, you're still going to hell. We have problems around here on Saturday. A lot of times our men are satisfied just to sit back and let the others do the work. It doesn't bother them a bit. But they're still going to hell for it. You see your brother have need, shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? And brother, when we go to do the work of God, we have a need. And when we have that need, you're supposed to help with that need. And if you're satisfied to sit back, spend your money, sit back and do nothing, sit back and never pray, sit back and never seek God, you're going to go to hell for that. Now, there's only one way, and that's God's way. He said, I'm the way, and Jesus is the Word. I'm the way, Jesus said. No man can get into the Spirit but by the Word, or to the Father but by the Son. That's what it means. No man can get to the Spirit of eternal life except he go through the Word. And that means he's got to go right through the Word every step of the way. He's got to go through the Word. He can't alter it. He can't change it. He can't deviate. He can't go around the corner. He's got to go straight through the Word. All right. So then when we look at the situation just the way it is, then we understand why that our nation is in the condition that it's in today. A lot of times we say, well, I don't understand. Why is America being treated the way that she's being treated? Because she's turned out to be a whore. She's turned out to be a harlot. One time America was a lady, today she's a whore. One time she was a great elect lady to God in His sight. Today it's altogether different. Now then, God isn't looking to America as a lady. He isn't looking to Germany as a lady. He isn't looking to the Catholic Church. They say Our Lady of Grace. They don't have a Lady of Grace. God's got one lady. He calls her the elect lady, and that is the church. God's lady, John calls her. And she's the only lady there is. She is the church, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I noticed they made the statement that this Ping, or whatever his name is, went over down Houston, Texas, somewhere down there, at a rodeo, and said while that he was down there, the crowd applauding and having a big time, you know, and praising him, they said that they had the march where the different ones come out with their flags, and you know how they carry them on their foot and whatever, and ride around and hold the flag. And they said while they were having the turnabout within the arena, said that something happened. And if I have it right, I believe they said the lady that was carrying the American flag, her, the flag, and the horse toppled over and fell. And they had to take it completely out of the march.
Now, you know, that makes me know that God isn't going to put up with hypocrisy. Isn't that right? You can't say you're capitalist when you're communist. Isn't that right? You can't sit up there and say we're our capitalist, God-fearing nation when you are a communist, degraded nation. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't believe that America's guilty of what he's guilty of. The Bible said that if you bid a thing God speeds, you're partaker of their evil. You say, but that's our president. It's not me. But what are you doing about it? Now somebody said, well, what are you doing about it? Just exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm crying out against it. I don't like it. It'll go on television, radio, and a printed page and everywhere. Because I'm not partakers of it. I feel like the man did that stood up there when he made the statement. He said, Jimmy Carter's not speaking for the Christians of America. He's not speaking for me. He's not my voice at all. Now, I'm not partakers of the evils of that nation and of those people. He's standing with them. He's giving them those nice hotels. All of that. You know, you can't do wrong and get by. God's eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil. Now, I made statement after statement that these things would come to pass like this. Before they came to pass, I said they'll come to pass such and such and such. And they're on tape step by step like we told it. And I made the statement. I said, Jimmy is working to get China so that he can have the upper hand of Russia. Because he knows that Russia and China feel related to one another because they're both communists and we're capitalists. And to offset that, he goes to China. Betrays, I believe they said, 17 million people. Betrays the government and all that we stand for. Our religious inheritance from our forefathers, their godly integrity, Jimmy just walked right over all of that. Made friends with the communist people, or the communist killer, invited him to the country because he had some wild notion about peace. And I made the statement, I said, if Jimmy Carter brings peace to the world, I'm a false prophet. And that's when everything was looking good for him. Since that time, there's an outburst of Taiwan. Since that time, there's an outburst of that country called Tehran over in Iran. Since that time, Russia has risen up. Now, and you're fixing to see China rise up. So then when Jimmy thought that he was going to strengthen his arms by using his own intellectual reasoning, when the Bible definitely tells us not to lean to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of my heart. About the time he felt that he was going to do that, then look what has taken place. See, there's one way to have peace, and that's the only way to have peace. That's to invite the Prince of Peace to come into our hearts and lives. The Bible said, if your ways please God, I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. It doesn't take bombs. It doesn't take guns. It doesn't take ships. It doesn't take tanks. Take the Bible. Study the Bible all the way back through the history of the world and mankind. Take the books in the school and study it back and see that in every case where God gave a good leader, we had peace. In every case where God did not give a good leader, we had trouble. As a matter of fact, some of the kings' lives are so short-lived because of their evil that it wasn't before 5 years that they stayed in power, where others stayed in power 30 and 40 years at a time because those feared God. Now, let's just look at it for just a few minutes this morning. Since we're caught in the middle of it, we might as well consider it just a little bit. Look at it. I believe that when that flag went down, and they tell me that down there that one of the Texans almost got a hold of him, that the police just barely kept him back because he screamed and run out in a rage to get a hold of him. But anyway, I believe in that the flag represents, as we say, the glory. I believe that it symbolized that God had taken the glory out. I made the statement when Jimmy started doing what he did. I said when he come in, I said he'll try to change the government.
He did. I said he'll rearrange everything. He did. And I said, and he'll set in motion the Antichrist system. He has. And I said he'll be the best thing that ever happened to the world, and he is. Because the Bible said he'll make craft to prosper. And already the prosperity of that man coming over buying all of those Fords, and then the Coca-Cola company going over there being able to sell no telling how many millions of their drinks and other companies, and it'll make way for international commerce. But I said it'll be the worst thing that ever happened to the church. Who is it that's crying out now? Who was it that got together here yesterday and the other day? Was it the commercial part of the world, or was it the Christians? When all the Christians band together a day or two ago and begin to cry out, but he's not speaking for us. Now, I believe that when Jimmy praised Elvis Presley like he did, because of so much of the world following after Elvis, trying to get their favor, I believe that when he did that God despised Jimmy. That's what I believe. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And he said, these things I despise, God said. He used the word despised. He said, I despise those things. When he praised Elvis Presley like he did, I said, that's the end of it right there. I said, our nation is gone and God will give it up to the devil. Immediately they hoisted the communist flag in Washington. Not long, here comes the chief murderer of all the earth over, and we pay his hotel bill. And Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you, whoever's guilty. Now then, I remember when the flag was taken up to the moon, and we spoke about it, Old Glory departing, and Ichabod rode over the door. I believe that God would not suffer that flag, because that flag representing the glory of God and the stripes on Jesus' back, I believe that he would not suffer that flag that was a symbol of his glory and democracy and freedom to be in the midst of the corruption and let them do the thing in a hypocritical, mocking way that they were doing, and he took the flag out of it. And another thing having to do with that part of the country where the stones are of the crossing of the Jordan, which brings in the tribulation, showing the rapture of the church, the lady, America, the decent part, raptured out and gone. A lady nation. Now, I believe with all my heart, I made the statement, I said, China will be the troublemaker. I said, China will cause our trouble. I said that years ago. I said, you watch and see, there will come a day when China will rise up and she'll cause the problem. It doesn't look like that China's going to do it. It looks like Russia's going to do it. But you look back at the things that happened just a day or two ago. Jimmy Carter had no intentions of that Chinese leader making the statements that he made. He thought that he was working something that was going to be to his benefit, that he could strengthen his kingdom in his world outreach. I made the statement when he come in, I said he'll be a reach for world power. He act like he wouldn't travel. He wasn't going to do anything. All of a sudden he got ambitious. I said he'll try for world conquest. That's his drive, to become a world dictator. And he's doing it. I also named Kissinger as the man that paved the way for the entry of it, and also spoke of Ronald Reagan's being involved in it. And then this Hal Lindsey, they made a movie and took those three men's name out of all of them. And they came out relative to Antichrist, all three of them, when it went through the computer. Now, I believe in my heart that China will be rejected. Now, I predict that this will come to pass. You can watch it. China coming over here in the way that their leader did, Jimmy Carter never intended for him to say the things that he said, knowing that they would get back to Russia. He thought that he was going to come in with flattery, as the Bible said he would, bring on a world peace by communicating with all the great leaders and swallowing them up. And I said, it'll never happen. It'll never happen because the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. The wicked's never going to have any peace. So then, when the man got over here, he let the cat out of the bag. That's what he did. Jimmy didn't intend for the kitty to get out. But the cat got out of the bag. And he just boldly made the statement, we'll stop that bear. And all he did was get that bear stirred up. It's like the vision I had. You remember I told it a number of times recently, how that I saw this great big polar bear, which is a huge monster. If you've ever seen one, sitting there, wasn't bothering anybody. Russia hasn't bothered anybody. Somebody said, but yes, look what they said and look what they published. I know, but look what America's published. Look what America said. It's been the same thing. Nobody couldn't be no more arrogant than the French people was when we were over there. Now, in the vision, the polar bear was minding its own business. And then here come the shadows. I saw them so plainly, the evening shadows. The light here and the shadows here moving swiftly across. The big snake sitting there waiting to pop his fangs into that white polar bear. And I saw these two hunters moving just like that with their guns in their arm, just about like the picture Brother Atlee took of that picture the other day that had to do with some things we've spoken about. But I saw it moving like that. And they were trying their best to get ahead of the shadows to where they could kill the serpent before he struck the bear because they knew what was coming. That's exactly what Jimmy's trying to do. You know, the dragon nation is China. And when it speaks of the serpent, they're one and the same. The Bible said that old serpent or dragon. And right now, that snake's caught up ready to pop his fangs into that polar bear. And Jimmy, he's a-hurrying and a-doing all he can. But it ain't going to do any good. It ain't going to do any good. Jimmy has to do on this side, typically, with that man-child that was caught up to power out of the peanut patch. Born in a manger, a farmer boy. And that red dragon, the Bible said, was laying right in there to get the man-child. China isn't interested in America. China wants world power. Anybody that would kill that many millions of people couldn't even have a heart inside of them. They wouldn't think no more about slaughtering the American people than you would the pop of your finger. And I'm not blaming the Chinese people because Chinese people are just like you. They're enslaved by the evil powers of the devil that drives them. There are a lot of good people among the Chinese people. They love Jesus. A lot of them love Jesus. I've talked to some of them. As a matter of fact, one of them done a track for me not too long ago, The Faith. Now, Jimmy being in that position, the red dragon laying in there, ready to strike, get the man child. But the Bible said he was cast out. He was cast out. And you watch what I'm telling you. The scriptures cannot lie. To save face with Russia, Jimmy is going to have to reject China. Now you watch and see. Russia has already made the statement. We want to know what's going on. I made the statement. I said Russia is going to take that as a double cross. I said, you just what? I said they're going to bow down to America to begin with, and they did. Immediately. They contacted the White House and took a bow. I said, but then they're going to take it as a double cross. And they did. And they made the statement, said, America, we want you to declare your position in this matter. We want to know what's going on. That means they're not playing. Not only that, but understand that they're sending 20 delegates or diplomats over to California to have a little chat when Ping gets out there. So that's going to be a hot place. When they get out there, I got a feeling that the lid's going to blow off the kettle. Because that viper, and I say this again, you remember how here in America they just displayed here in Atlanta, Georgia, the big cobra on a big sign outside of Atlanta saying, "Don't tread on me." And you know the Navy motto, "Don't tread on me." That dragon, that Chinese power, the serpent, is ready to pop his fangs into that bear. Because China ain't going to draw back. Now you watch and see. They'll pop their fangs into that bear. And the voice said to me, said, "Get your people on the mantle, because when that serpent strikes that bear," said, "he's going crazy and there won't be any safety anywhere." And I got my little family up on the mantle and I asked the Lord what it was. And he reminded me of the mantle of Elijah coming back to Elisha, which was the rapture. And about that time when them shadows got up there and that serpent popped that bear went crazy. I mean, he went wild. Now, bear slow. You know, he's real slow, like, you know, slothful sort of a creature. But that bear wasn't. When that thing struck him, he went wild. And I mean, he was moving at a fast pace. He was wild. Wasn't nothing safe nowhere around. Now, I believe this with all my heart. Jimmy, to save face and to save the nation, is going to have to compromise with Russia. He's going to have to give them some peace of mind. And when he does it, that little Chinese leader is going to see that double talk of Jimmy's. He's going to see it. Right then and there, that double-minded thing is going to show up. And when it does show up, the little Chinese leader is going to know what to do after that. And Russia is also going to see what happens and see the double-mindedness of it. And that little Chinese leader will strike his fangs into Russia because he'll be rejected. When Jimmy and the rest of the world allies together, he'll be rejected. And he'll turn his face. You watch and see, his face will turn toward the Holy Land and they'll build those roads back in there and they'll cut in those canals and they'll dam up the water and make way for what the Bible speaks of as all of those locusts and hundreds and millions of horsemen that John saw to ride in their own Palestine. Because if Jimmy consolidates his kingdom and if this side of the world really gets lifted up over here, there isn't but one thing that they can look to, and that is Israel. When you come back from the moon, they say the first thing that you see is about a 1,500-mile wall around China, which is symbolic of the New Jerusalem. And when they turn their face in that direction, they'll be looking for world power and world preeminence, where the Mosque of Omar, all those things are. And you'll see that China will be the rejected one. They'll be rejected. Now it'll look smooth, trying to keep them from doing anything, but you watch and see. They'll be the rejected one and China will recognize it. And though they try to cover it up with their political approaches, it won't do any good. China's going to recognize it. And they're going to see what they're doing to them. And because they're yellow people, that they're on the outside. And really, it isn't because they're yeller at all. It's because Jimmy is afraid of Russia. Now, so then that means that we are on the verge of what the Bible refers to as the greatest calamity that's ever come on the face of the world. A catastrophe that no man can't cope with. That the islands will be moved out of the places. Eruption of the entire earth. The stars will fall from heaven because of the terrific blast of the nuclear powers in the earth. All of those earthquakes, all of those troubles that John saw is those nuclear outbursts. Whereas that angel that approached the throne took the censer in his hand, which denotes in the book of Revelation that the days of grace was at an end. Now, I've told you that the church is sealed in, that the days of grace is at an end. according to the Bible, when it was at an end, they filled that censer, they took that censer, he threw it into the earth, and the Bible said there was lightnings and thunders and earthquakes, and the islands were moved out of their places. He said, I saw the great cities of the world crumble, he said. Places like New York, places like Atlanta, Georgia, the huge buildings crumbled and toppled, John said. And the stars fell from heaven. He said, and it was so terrible that a third part of the sun blacked out. It went dark. And there was darkness over all the earth, a third part of it. Then came all the terrible problems, locusts, people wanting to die, not able to die. Then come tribulation such as man had never seen. The Bible said these things happened. The Antichrist rose up out of the water, dominating the world. The computerized system is just right for him to dominate the world now. And I made this statement. I said all the lights will be well on their way out by 70. The religious lights, brother, they're gone. Everybody from Armstrong to I don't know who that one time showed a little bit of light, Billy Graham, and all of them, they are gone. Now, and I said one star will show in that time. Just one star. The Bible calls it his star. From the time that the moon goes out until the sun comes up, the darkest part of the night is just before the dawn. And that morning star comes up, and that's all that's out there, which has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in this, with those great things taking place, John said, I saw the islands move out of their places. But the people still refuse to serve God. They still curse God. And those talents, or hail, the weight of a talent, came down upon them. Yet they still curse God. Now why was that? Anybody in their right mind would have repented. But Pharaoh couldn't repent. See, when death is lifted and the spirit of grace is lifted, they can't repent. It isn't a matter of having a mind to repent. They can't repent. They don't have any desire, any drawing, any understanding, any inward desire toward that. They're not moved toward it. No intuition whatsoever. They can't do anything. All they can do is feel their fleshly desires and their fleshly anguish and their fleshly misery and curse the cause of it. The Bible said, and they repented not of their murderers and their sorcerers and their adulterers to worship idols that are made out of stone and wood. And they cursed the God of heaven and blasphemed his name. Now then, you remember the vision I had. Now I'm going to close in just a few minutes. But you remember the vision I had where everything turned into powder. Everything was dry. And I brought that out that I felt it had a natural and a spiritual significance. And it has so far. Everything was dry. And a voice said to me, there's no time left to do anything. No more. The Spirit of God had lifted from the earth. And everybody was in a terrible condition. Everybody turned away from God. There was no godliness whatsoever. And everything dried up like a dried up potsherd. And the voice said, it's too late. It's too late. It was too late for people to be saved. It's too late to preach a sermon. Too late to write a book. It's forever too late. That's where we're living right now. I believe this. I believe it. I just wish we had time to go into Revelation and bring out the different nations and the symbol that they have in types concerning the planets to show you what really happened when Ping came over here. But there's one thing about it. Right at this moment, at this time, we're on the verge of world catastrophe. And when that dragon was rejected, the Bible said he went out into the earth. He went out into the earth. And the Bible said that he turned to persecute the remnant of the woman's seed, which indicates the woman being saved from it, caught up. spiritually, that means that when the spiritual elect lady is caught up, Satan, through the powers of Catholicism, will turn toward Israel. But it also means that when China realizes that they cannot be part of the UN, not truthfully part of the UN, whereas they've had problems all along, when they suddenly realize that they are rejected, the Bible said that dragon was full of wrath. Said because he knew that he had but a short time. Now you can't tell China they got a short time right now. But you let all the nations of the world compact together in a false peace pact, and China will begin to quiver. But that won't make them stop. It won't make them stop. They know then that they'll have to fight. China felt like that they had the manpower and America had the warheads, and that's all it needed was just to work together and blast Russia off the map, and that'd be it. And probably figured once they get Russia blasted off, they'd turn around and blast America off. They wouldn't have much trouble with her. But you see, it's like I said before, not even communists get along. Why is it that Russia, if they're communists, and China, if they're communists, why is it that they're not allies? See, they ain't nobody getting along no more, Jim. Nobody. It just ain't in the earth anymore. God's people are the only united force in the world. That's the only one. They can say united we stand and divided we fall all they want to. But really it amounts to one thing. United we sin. And divided we can run for our lives. Maybe get to God. One time it was really something. United we did stand. We really did. When we linked arm to arm with Brotherhood about the time that Brother Isaac and him was fighting over there for the liberties of the United States, you could link arms with Brotherhood. China, Russia, all of them was together as brethren, but not anymore. Now, I made this statement, and perhaps some of you remember it. I said, you'll see East Germany and West Germany, Korea, South and North Korea, and these other nations begin to come together. You'll see the Iron Curtain rent. And they'll begin to come together because the false peace pact has to come in. But I also said this, and as a matter of fact, I believe Betty told me the other day that South and North Korea has already, since I made the statement, they're already talking about getting back together, capitalist and communist Korea. All right, now, the Iron Curtain being rent, which symbolized the resurrection of the dead, that's what it means. That's how close we are to the end time. Now, I believe with all my heart that we're at the closing of the door. And I made a statement that by 80, everything would be in motion for the end. That would be the beginning of the end of the world right there. That the tribulation would start setting in. And I didn't know at the time, a number of years ago when I made it, I had no idea that just a little while later that scientists was going to predict that by 80 or 82 within that time that the planets was going to line up and the sun was going to go into a nova and that the whole world was going into a convulsion according to scientific theory. But I made the statement, I said it has to do with one thing, and that is that all the leaders like Jimmy, I said Jimmy and the leaders of the earth will line up. Now they've done it since that time. They're lining up more and more. I think Brezhnev is supposed to come over now from Russia. And I said, and when they line up, it'll displease God because God was the one that separated them at the Tower of Babel. He doesn't want them to come together. He doesn't want China and America to get together. He doesn't want any of the nations to get together. It's not God's will for them to get together. He wants them to stay separated. He separated them. And there's only one union, and that's in Christ. They were supposed to stay separated, and their Christian people were supposed to glean among them till they got everybody out of them that would also make their group, and they were to be separated from all the rest of them. And then God was to destroy the world. But he knew in the end time that they'd all come together for the building of that tower of confusion, and he would destroy them. And that Them planets lining up indicates that those world leaders are going to line up. And when they do, it will give Antichrist a chance to come in and take over by personifying himself in the man that's in the greatest place of power and authority. And through the computerized system, he can rule the world now. And when one man comes in like that, then God is through with it. God is through with it. That's going to cause a convulsion of the world, because that will be Antichrist, and God will mark it off as a bad day. I'm saying this now. I want you to listen real close. 7 years of bad government is to set in. That's all. It's to come in. And when that 7 years of bad government, which is Antichrist government, is over, then on this very earth, in the millennium reign for 1,000 years, God is going to set up his kingdom. Because we who are called out, raptured out, will come back in Revelation 19 on white horses, not to preach a sermon, but to dip our sword in the blood of humanity. It won't be no make-believe. It won't be no spiritual thing. We'll literally wage war on human beings, and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. It'll be a slaughter. We'll join in with Israel, and Israel being natural, though we'll be spiritual, they can't pierce us through and hurt us. But Israel will be natural and be set up as a natural world government here in this world to rule the world, because she is the head of the nation. God rejected her, made her the tail, because she rejected him. He said, if you reject me, I'll make you the tail. If you accept me, I'll make you the head. And Israel's going to turn back to God, and Israel is going to be the head of the nation. Now, and with the Catholic government or power, which is a government, not a religion, but with the Catholic religion being the great whore, sitting upon the beast of communism, we can tell that, as I said the other day, that we have a full constitution of the beast, which was seen in the book of Daniel, the Persian, Medo-Persians bear, Alexander the Great, the Grecian leopard, and the Roman power of Babylon, the lion head, which to me means one thing, as I said the other night, and that is that the people are the beast. The Bible said brute beasts made to be taken and burned because they reject God. And there'll be a headship of the beast, because scientists have proved that people ain't nothing but beast unless you're a son of God. If you're a son of God, you are a god. You're not a beast. You'll live eternally. But if you're not, then you're a beast. And you'll head up to that beast head, which means a man, a smart, intellectual man. That beast will be a composition of many members, of three major parts. One of them will be the feet, which John said was a bear, which will be Russia, or the powers of communism dominating the world and carrying that great whore that's set upon the beast, which is the Roman Catholic Church. For one power of that beast was the bear, one part, the feet. One part of it was the Babylonian head, which is the old Roman way of life, which is ruled by the Germans. That's a German intelligence, which goes back to Einstein, the old tree of knowledge. That voice of Babylon, that head of gold, that lion that was shown in the days of Daniel. And then the body of that beast that come up out of the waters was a leopard, the old Grecian Alexander leopard, the Hellenistic religion that he spread across the face of the earth. That is sports. That part of the beast is sports. Football, baseball, wrestling, all the sports of the world. It comes from there. That's where all your sports come from. That is the sports. That is the beast. It'll be made up of those three things. A head of religion that will be a golden power in the sense of prestige and of being renowned. And then that will pacify the people. A religion, a Roman religion, that you can do anything, live any way, be any kind of old devil and belong to it. A cage of every unclean and hateful bird. A cage of devils, the Bible said. That will be the religion of the world, because that will fit everybody. Everybody. And all they're interested in is the pocketbook. As long as you pay your dues and pray people out of purgatory and follow that kind of foolishness, that's all they care about. The strong delusion that will cause them to believe a lie and be damned. That will be the head of it. And as I said, communism, they can't just have a religion. A religion's not that. You got to have more than a religion. A religion is just to pacify the people so that they can feel good. They can't continue on in life unless they feel like they're right with God. That would be one part of it. The next part will be the communistic government. They've got to have a government. All things common. It'll fit just right. I made the statement it would carry the great whore. And sure enough, it ain't been but just a few weeks ago that the Roman Catholic powers made the statement, said we are going with communism so that the great church can continue. So then they allied together, where they've always been bitter enemies. But there they are riding her. The bear's riding her. She's riding the bear. So that gives them a government. That gives them a religion. But one other thing that people have to have to be pacified, and that's a little jogging up and down the road in their shorts. A little swimming. The Olympics. They've got to have a little football game. They've got to have a little baseball game. They've got to have a little bit of racing and jumping the hurdles. Look at Oral Roberts, how he mixed all that mess in trying to mix darkness and light. God rejected him in the sorrow he went into. Now, it takes sports to make up that body, that leopard body. You know, a leopard is swift. That's sports, racing, running, tumbling, jumping. That's a leopard. See, it takes that part. Those three great parts will constitute the beast or the people of the earth, and the people will be satisfied, just as contented as the baby nursing the breast. They'll be just as happy. If you'll give man the consolation that he's on his way to heaven when he can live like the devil and drink and chew and fight, do anything he wants to, he's happy. If you tell him that there is a government like communism, that he doesn't have any responsibility, that it supplies everything from the medical right on down, he's happy. And if you'll let him go to the ball games and fish and hunt, sport, do anything he wants to, he's happy. That's all it takes to be contented. And so then they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until Noah and the people entered into the ark. The midnight cries here. The virgins are rising and they're trimming their lamps. And those that's got mixed up in the worldly affairs of religion are beginning to realize that that's a bunch of foolishness. That the Roman power church is the mother of a bunch of whores or harlot, the Bible said. And that all of the Protestant churches are daughters of that great whore. Every one of them are. And all of them will join the confederation. And only those that follow Christ into the name of His lovely Son and into His Spirit will be saved. That's all that will be saved. All the rest of them will confederate. Because they got too much money at stake. Those great denominations have got too much money at stake to ever turn away. They'll never give up that money power to follow God. But that's the way it's standing right now. That's the way that I understand it. That's the way that I see it. It means that the closing of the door is here for the Gentiles. And the destroyer from the north is on his way. He's on his way. The Bible said the king of the north, the destroyer of the north, going back to Russia, he's on his way. They've got him stirred up now. They done, that little Chinese fellow's done popped those fangs into that bear enough already. Right here in the evening time when gross darkness is the cover of the people, them shadows coming, which is that intellectual, educational way of life, reasoning it out. And I'm going to say this in closing. Jimmy Carter, are these committees, are governmental powers, not any of them have the right to decide whether or not the people that are religious are a cult or whether they're in God. None of them. How can they decide when the Bible teaches that they got a reprobate mind? And how can they decide when the Bible says they'll not even see when good cometh? How do they know what's a cult? The Bible said they won't even see when good cometh. They can't judge anything. How can they judge something they don't know nothing about? It's up to the Christians to decide what's right and what's wrong. Whether it's a cult or whether it isn't a cult. All they can do is one thing, and that's brand everything that won't join the denominations of the cult. Now you watch and see, and that's what they'll do. And then those denominations will be one big group, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It'll be one big mess, and Antichrist will rule it. All right, there's just a lot of things I'd like to say, but I know that we're going to have to close. I appreciate your kindness in listening, and I hope that some of the things I said make sense to you to where you can understand it. But folks, things is in a mess. Nobody has to tell you that anymore. America's communist. I know that makes the hair on your head rise up, and I know it'll make you boil like a teapot, but America is communist. And somebody said, well, we're going to get him out of there. That won't do any good. Goldwater and all the rest of them praised Jimmy for what he done. A number of them did. Some of them kind of in a sly sort of a way, but they done it. They were in it. The only ones that rejected him was upset because they wasn't the ones that got in the spotlight. All of them, just one big group, same bunch of peas on the same vine. The Bible teaches it. So then, it means that the end is here and that angel is fixing to throw that censer into the earth. And brethren, the Bible said God told them angels, said, holding him four winds, said, don't you let nothing happen to the earth. Nothing till I seal Israel. And as sure as you live, that noble peace prize was the sealing of Israel. And God lifted that and said, peace to Israel. That done it. God's got everything right now, and you can watch. That was the natural step to it. And the world is going into a convulsion like you've never seen before. Never. And I'm ready to get on the mantle. I'll be honest with you. Like that vision I had the other night, I got my people to safety and got them over behind that fence and behind that high-powered wire, and they were saved. And I believe it. We've crossed the Jordan. When you get over that old carnal mind of death, you're over the Jordan. You're believing and trusting in him, let come what may. And I believe that we're over the Jordan. I believe that. I believe we've entered into that mind of Christ, that Canaan land of God, and by faith that we're concerned. But, folks, he's taken the hypocrite by surprise. The Bible said, I'll take the hypocrite by surprise. He thinks I'm all together, such as he is, but I'll take him by surprise. When they learn that they're part of that beastly regime of sports, religion, and of lethargy, that government of lethargy, when they find out that they're part of it, it's going to tear them up. But if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, there ain't but one other you can have. And the Bible said that's the spirit of the world. The love of the world's in you. The love of the Father's not there. All right, let's stand together. Say, Brother Pike, what can I do? Peter, having the key, said, repent every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it's unto you, to your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the answer. I am the door, Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is, no man gets into the Spirit of God except by the Word, because the Son is the Word and the Father is the Spirit. To get into the Spirit of eternal life, there's one door. That's to go through the Word. Jesus said, I'm the Word. The Word was made flesh. I'm the door. I'm not accusing Jimmy. The Bible teaches that we're not to speak evil of dignitaries. I'm not speaking evil of him, nor Ping, nor anybody else. I pray for him. The Bible tells us to pray for the kings of the earth. But there's one thing about it. Jimmy voices his opinion. I voice my opinion. That's the way I see it. He says what he thinks about it. I say what I think about it. They get up and stand up and say, we think Little Bethlehem is a cult, and we think that place over yonder is a cult. Brother Pike thinks just exactly the same way about them. I think they're the cult. And this is the move of God. That's what it is. I'm still of the opinion. I believe it. It's proven out to be so.
that when communism came in, and I said that God hath rejected that up there, that the government is gone, that God will not favor communism, that his move of government is gone, that all these years he was in the government, he blessed the people, but that ended it. He will not be part of the next coming government. It'll be Antichrist. And I said, when that happened, he moved it to little Bethlehem. And sure as you live, he did. And he's preserved it here in a little people. And that means that it is here to show what God is doing, a little simple, foolish-looking thing to the world, but God's new government. And it means one thing, that at the rapture, these people, as well as all people who believe in God across the world, that are really relative to us in the Holy Spirit, will be raptured out of here, and the same government that's established on his precious word will come back in Revelation 19. It's George Washington's vision of return, where the economy was established and to never go down again. And it will come back up. Even Washington said it looked like an angelic visitation to him. And sure enough, that's what it is. It's the fall of the great nation through the tribulation. And Revelation 19 is an invention and coming back to set it up in a governmental power for the Jews to rule the world, which is the proper order. Leaving the female, which is the woman, America, after the birth of the child being caught up over there to Israel, just like Jimmy's been riding there around, the Israelite people riding there to establish the government with the male part, which is Israel, that the man should rule the house and the woman should be under subjection. That's Christ ruling the church. But I made the statement, I said, the man gives into the woman while she's carrying the child so as not to mark it. You don't want to mark the child. And that mark has to do with the mark of the beast. The beast is the man part. While that holy child is in your heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory, till Christ be formed within you. While that child is being formed in you, God has let us be loose. He's let the woman, which is the flesh, the body, be loose. He gave her grace so that she could be loose. So that he didn't grieve her, that he didn't mark that Christ child by this outer beast. So there'd be no birthmarks of that outer beast that's carrying that child. No birthmarks whatsoever. He's let her go at liberty so there wouldn't be any birthmarks. So that there wouldn't be any football marks and basketball marks and any lust of the flesh whatsoever. And somebody would say, well, how can he eliminate all that, seeing that everybody has stumbled and staggered in that direction? He overlooked it by grace. So he didn't see it. The mark never did get down there. He just said, she didn't do it. She didn't do it because I'm looking at my son and I don't see it. I'm looking at the blood. It's not on my child. But you can be sure of one thing. Those stumblings and staggerings had to be ignorant. Because otherwise, if you're guilty, when you know better and you participate in those things, you are a murderer. You killed that Christ child and nailed him to Calvary. The beast tore Joseph, according to the statement. All right. We're free from that now. The child has been born. Hallelujah. You might think this strange, but I believe it's Tokyo this year of 79. I made a statement. I said things will start happening this year, and this will be the year that everything will just be torn all up, changed around, messed up every which way, and we'll begin to really see things happen this year. And I made a statement that the child had already been born in the life of the people. And sure enough, this year, 79, I believe it's Tokyo, the magazine carried the article saying, at last, think of that now, at last, 79, the year of the child. That's what it stated. At last, 79, the year of the child. The land of the rising sun, that's where the child comes up. The east. All right. Let's sing this little chorus together. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to know the truth, because the world out yonder knows nothing of the things that you and I talk about. Nothing. Of the many hundreds of things that we've shared together, Jimmy Carter and the world knows nothing of them. They've never entered into their mind. And the Bible said the things that God hath for them that love him, said it hath never entered into man's mind, not at any time, out of all of his education, all of his studies, never at one time has the thoughts of what he hath prepared for them that love the Lord, never has it one time entered into their minds. Never. With all of their experimental abilities, scientists and whatever. But the Bible said God hath made it a revelation unto us and revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Having eyes we see, having eyes they see not. Having ears we hear. Seeing always what the Father does, hearing what the Spirit saith unto the churches. They neither see nor hear. Jesus said, lest at any time they should see and hear and be converted. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? They that wait upon the Lord. Have you ever waited on the Lord? Brother Grady used to sing that song, have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with him? They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible said, they shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Can you sing it again? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. One more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.